Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now, this is a live radio broadcast designed to inspire, encourage, and empower you forward into your breakthrough. Now, join me weekly, along with my distinguished guests, that will share wisdom and stories of great faith. And now, here we go. Let's get started with inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough. Well, hello and welcome, everyone, to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. And I am your host, Dr. Beverly Swanson. It is truly a delight to have you on the air with me this evening, especially this evening for this special guest that I have for you and his amazing music. Well, but let me tell you first a little bit about the broadcast. Now, Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough is a broadcast where real people have an opportunity to come on and share real stories about their challenges, about their journeys, and most importantly, their victories and their breakthroughs while experiencing those journeys, coming out with an amazing testimony to share with each and every one of us. Now, why is that important? Well, because their testimonies encourage us. It encourages us to continue pressing in and moving forward, because the testimony will only come, dear ones, when the journey has been completed. Now, if you would like to call in on the broadcast while we're on the air, you can do so by dialing 347-202-0120. Let me repeat that for you. Again, that number is 347-202-0120. Just go ahead and call in. I will see your number coming through and your hand waved, and will give you an opportunity to ask your questions. Now, again, it is sheer delight having you with us on the broadcast today. I want you to know you can also reach Dr. Beverly by going on the website at www.drbeverlylswanson.com, or send me an email at drbeverlylswanson@gmail.com. Now, there is so much to share with you this evening, and I want to have an opportunity also to share Dr. Alvin's music. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Now, before I bring him on the air with us, I want to tell you a little bit about them. How about that? Are you ready? Well, let's get started. Now, Dr. Alvin McKinney is his name, and he is a power alto saxophonist. He's also a songwriter, a composer, an arranger, and producer. He started his musical journey at the age of 4. Now, not playing the saxophone, playing the drums. So at age 12 was when he picked up his first saxophone, ladies and gentlemen, and it became his first passion and the focus of his career and aspirations in music. Now, he tells me that he attended Memphis State University, and that's where he studied classical saxophone and under a professor of saxophone, and he performed with a marching band there and a jazz band, and he won the Wynwood Concerto competition at a young age in 1988. Now, there are so many accolades, ladies and gentlemen, that talks about his his career, but I want him to have an opportunity to tell you all about that himself. Because quite frankly, I could spend the next 15 minutes reading his bio, sharing his bio, and the many accolades that precedes him. But no, let's hear from him directly. Let's see if he's on. Dr. Alvin, are you on the air?
Yes, I am, Dr. Swanson. God bless you. How are you doing today?
Well, I am blessed. Thank you so much. But listen, you have to promise. If you call me anything, you have to call me Dr. Beverly, okay? And Dr. Swanson
is
the other person.
How
about that?
All right, Dr. Beverly.
Well, are you glad to be with us this evening?
I am truly honored, blessed, and highly favored to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is indeed mine. I was hoping, before we get started, that you would share a little bit about your, well, you know what, about who you are. I don't want to just go into the schools that you went to, Dr. Alvin, or may I call you Alvin during the broadcast? Is that all right with you?
Certainly.
Oh, good. I want to just go into the schools that you attended and all the honoraries that you received in high school or elementary school or college. I want you to tell me about everything that you experienced as far as you growing in your music and just some of the people that you have been privileged to play for in your career before we get into the depths of your who you are and how you are growing up. Can you just share with them the people that you played for, that you've played with, some of the things that you've experienced during your years growing with your instrument?
Certainly. I should probably pull up my own bio so I don't forget anyone.
That's always the case, isn't it?
I've been honored to play as a featured artist with the late Louis Belson, world-class drummer. He was considered the world's greatest drummer, actually the world's greatest musician. I think that name was given to him by Duke Ellington, I believe. Through him, I had the opportunity to play with the late Clark Terry, also a world-renowned jazz trumpeter, recently passed away. Also the late Billy Preston, a dear friend of mine, a big brother in Christ, Kirk Whalum. I've been honored to open up as with a group called Dr. Ira Stevenson in the Crenshaw Elite Choir several years ago when we opened up for Gerald Albright, who is also another big brother of Christ of mine. I performed with Ellis Hall, considered the ambassador of soul, considered a prodigy in his own, child prodigy in his own right, but also, what's the good word to use for him? Protege, thank you, Holy Spirit. The protege to the late Ray Charles, just to name a few. And I cannot forget to please mention my father, Curl McKinney, still playing music in the Memphis City area, playing in church on Sundays and playing at the Peabody Hotel. on the weekdays, whom actually started my music career at the age of 4, playing drums, which you mentioned earlier, and also taught my younger brother to play electric bass and trumpet, and he's doing very well now, Paul McKinney, teaching music at Stax Music Academy under Kirk Whalum in the city of Memphis. Should I keep going?
Well, of course.
All right, I had the honor of playing and being the music director for the 9th annual blues ceremonies in Memphis, Tennessee at the Peabody Hotel. I think the year was 1988, playing behind Johnny Adams, Lacey Lester, Lattimore, and also B.B. King was the headliner. And at the end of that particular engagement, his nephew, also music director and saxophonist, Walter King, gave my band a gig in the Bel Air part of Memphis called Germantown for New Year's Eve. A could also have the opportunity
to... ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop here for a moment.
Thank you.
I can hear the breathing over there. I'm going to stop here for a moment. We are going to go back to that. And why did I have him go through that? Well, because I really want you to understand his pathway and the accomplishments that he's been privileged to experience. But I must tell you, there are never accomplishments without a journey. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we tend to look at an artist or, well, look at anyone who we feel has made a form of a claim. But we fail to understand because we don't know about the journey, the ups and the downs that one must go through in order to achieve that. Especially when one is an anointed, chosen vessel of God. And this gentleman is. Now, for those of you who just joined us, you have tuned in to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with my very special and treasured guest, Dr. Alvin K. McKinney, a world-renowned saxophonist. And before we move any further, I would like very much for you to hear a bit of his music. And what I'm going to play for you right now is Amazing Grace. And then we will come back and continue moving forward with the interview. Here we are, Amazing Grace. Thank you. Okay, I am back, and it was not easy. That was Amazing Grace, again, by Dr. Alvin K. McKinney. Dr. Alvin, are you with us? Are you back?
I'm still here. Thank you so much.
Well, as you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, this is a live broadcast. You can tell I, by the way, Dr. Bev kind of interrupted that music there for a moment, but quickly got back into it. I met Dr. Alvin, who has said that I can call him Alvin for the broadcast. I have seen him play at several of Morris Cirillo's World Evangelism Crusades and conferences, tours, and was absolutely amazed at the anointing on him when he played and how it affected everyone within the conference. And then having an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to speak with him, and he is so humble and just impressive in his gift. So we're going to find out a little more about Alvin and his music. So if you don't mind, Alvin, I really want to get into who you are and why the saxophone. Can you tell me the saxophone? How did you happen to choose that instrument? You said you started with drums. So where did the saxophone come into play?
Well, as I said earlier, my father started me on drums at the age of 4. And then my age 5, I won my first trophy in a talent competition and kept playing pretty much through the 6th grade. By the time I was getting ready to enter into the 7th grade, his former advisor, passed away now, Mr. Pat Cooney, said I should play something else besides the drum sets because he realized that I'm so sorry, there's someone keeps ringing my doorbell. Please forgive me for the distraction. program music was getting ready to start, disco and things of that nature. So he recommended that I try a different instrument, which is what he told my dad. And so one day I went into my dad's band room, at Lincoln Junior High, where he was teaching for several years, and I actually tried the trumpet. Now, because I have thick lips, which you already know about, having met me, my dad was from the old school of teaching, and he thought that maybe that my lips were just too big for me to play trumpet, so I thought I should play another instrument. But it turns out I just needed a larger cup to get all that meat in. Anyway, I tried another saxophone. I wanted something that matched my nature, being out front as a performing artist at a very young age, singing and also playing drum set. I wanted something that was similar to that. So since the trumpet didn't work out, I tried the saxophone. And after a few minutes of squeaking and squawking, made my first ungodly sound and fell in love and been squeaking and squawking ever since.
So now
35
squawking.
Years later. Yeah. So now 35 years later, I don't squawk as much as I did at the beginning.
No, it's amazing. I don't care how good we get when playing instruments. We always start out with squeaking and squawking, don't we? I tell you.
That's the humbling experience. Everybody starts at the beginning.
You know, you mentioned that you are the oldest of two, that you have a brother.
Yes, my younger brother by 4 years is Paul McKinney. He's a very phenomenal trumpet player himself, and also teaching music at Stax Music Academy in Memphis City area. And I like, if I may, I'd like to give a quick recognition to my parents, Curl and Ruth McKinney. In a couple of days, they'll be celebrating their 54th wedding anniversary. I want to thank them for their love and all of the sacrifices that they have made throughout the years to help make sure that my brother and I could get to rehearsals on time, concerts on time. And the family motto was always to make sure that at least one person was there for a concert. And they made that sacrifice for several years for both my brother and as well as myself.
Wow. See what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. Humbleness. And well raised. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Amen.
From Dr. Bev as well. You have truly given us an amazing gift in Dr. Alvin McKinney, and we appreciate you. So Alvin,
McKinney.
You were raised in a let me go on here. You were raised in a middle-class neighborhood. Both your parents were teachers, right?
Yes, my dad taught music for 41 years in the Memphis City public school system. My mother taught for a few years and then at the elementary level. And then she decided to retire and take care of my younger brother and I at home. So that was the beginning of her sacrifice in addition to bringing us both into the world.
And, how great is that, though, to be able to stay home with your sons these days?
Well, I'm not sure, especially when they both play music. I would imagine she had a few headaches that we didn't know about. But I tell you what, she loves us utterly, and we love her utterly, and that's nothing in the world that we would not do for her, as she's already done so much for us.
I know she's very proud of you, Alvin. Alvin is also a very happily married man with an amazing wife. Her name is Elizabeth. I've had the pleasure to meet her and speak with her as well. And, you know, Alvin is not just a saxophonist, ladies and gentlemen. He is also a reverend. He's a man of God, and he flows in the office of a prophet as well. So you know what that means? What that means is his life indeed has been a journey. When did you come to California, Alvin?
I left the road. I'll start it this way. Because I didn't finish my degree at the University of Michigan, which is where my teacher, Alan Rippey, currently still teaching as the professor of saxophone at Memphis State University, now the University of Memphis, he sent me to this teacher, Donald Senta, who is still considered the world's greatest living classical saxophonist today and still teaching saxophone at the University of Michigan. And what I was told was that during the intermission, I needed to just kind of pull myself together. He gave me a C and said if I didn't do any better, I would not return. But during that period, I did two things. One, I didn't share this with you earlier when we chatted a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I made a declaration, and I said this entire school belongs to me. Maybe that was a tad arrogant, but I just felt like I would do very, very well there. And at the same time, you have to realize that as my dad would say, when you are on someone else's dime, you have to kind of do what they tell you to do. My father warned me not to do any performances or gigs my first year there and really just do whatever Mr. Center told me to do. And I did that, except I decided, well, I'll just play in church in Ypsilanti, in Metropolitan Baptist Church there. And maybe I should not have done that. But I would just say this. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And because I was not completely and totally obedient to my father, as well as to Mr. Donald Center, I was invited to continue my master's degree at one of the most prestigious music schools in the country, the University of Michigan. And so with that disappointment, I left after my first year. Now, had I been able to stay for my second year, I would have also taught at one of the most prestigious music programs in the world, which is called Interlochen, and it's held right there. And they actually have students that fly in from around the world to take music lessons. By the way, I was a graduate student there, and I was given a stipend to teach a course there, and it was called Jazz Styles. And so I taught Jazz Styles. In addition to my stipend, I also received a full scholarship. So pretty much, had I been able to maintain my degree, the whole world would have been given to me on a silver platter. But because I want to travel back in time for a moment, I think something that I shared with you earlier, which was kind of the beginning of my demise. I mentioned to you earlier that while I was attending Memphis State University, I had my own band, and it was a nice R&B, funk, vocal, jazz band. And we were hired once again to play in the Tiger's Den. It's sort of like a cafeteria area with a stage there. And unfortunately, my drummer decided he was going to be late there. And I'm a perfectionist. I always believe in being early, being on time. And by God's grace, that's the only way I can explain it, the power went out over the entire campus when it was time for the band to first start performing. So I decided, let me go find another drummer. So I ran back to the music department, nice little trek, and I found a white friend of mine by the name of Bo. And I asked both people would mind doing the gig, and both said no. So he found some drums, drove them around in the car. I helped him unload. We set up. And as soon as he finished setting up, the power came back on. So
oh,
we started the
God.
Performance. Hallelujah. Only the Lord could have done that to save my neck that day. The entire university, all the power went out, not just one area, the entire university. That's how much the Lord loves me. Anyway, getting back to the story, I see the drummer walk up while we were playing our first set. I acknowledge him, and he's there holding his drumsticks. And so when we finish the first set, we go outside to have a discussion about why he was late. And when he tells me that his girlfriend is the one that caused him to be late, I had other words to share, and I was quite upset, being a double Leo, as we would say. And that King David spirit came out, the one that's 400-1. And I let him know what I thought about that, and that he pretty much cost me a gig, and that I was going to dock him $50. And the intensity and the energy of our conversation was so elated that it caught the attention of one of the security guards, who decided to drive up and see if we were okay. At that point, we made our peace, and he proceeded to go ahead and get set up, and he did the rest of the gig. But I made the mistake of saying out of my heart, and I mean with all due diligence and all vigor, if I had half a mind, I would do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You can fill in the blanks if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that what the Bible says, that talking about the tongue,
mm-hmm.
that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So anyone who understands curses will understand what I'm getting ready to, what I'm getting to. I basically curse myself.
Well, before you go into that, before you go on,
okay.
I want to reiterate a few things so that the audience understands.
Sure.
Now, what Dr. Alvin is doing right now, he is sharing with us the journey. Now, remember, we were not all born saved, holy, sanctified. We had a journey, right? So that's what we're
that's
doing.
True.
We're opening up our lives to you, being transparent so that you understand that every day in life is a process. Now, remember,
Amen.
He said that he was disobedient. And in that disobedience, it cost him some very prestigious things in his life where it could have skyrocketed much sooner than it did. But, oh, but God, he loves us so much that
Amen.
In the midst of the journey, while we're learning to hear and obey, while we're learning who we are, and while we're learning who he is, he still watches over us. But there's still a journey and there's still a lesson. And I was going to ask you, Dr. Alvin, I was going to ask you, what was the first experience that your words have power? Well, you just explained that. So now tell us what happened when your mouth opened up, anointed man of God, and spoke the wrong words.
Well stated, Dr. Beverly. I basically cursed myself. I said, if I had half a mind, and then I told him what I was going to do or what I thought about doing. But when I spoke that out of my own mouth, I spoke it to myself, and I spoke it into my own life. And the best way for me to describe what happened to that from that point forward at the remaining 2 years at Memphis State, I'll say it this way. It seemed like if anyone ever watches Star Wars or Star Trek, something like that, you know that the starships have different speeds. One is called warp drive, and that's the one that, where it takes off, and then they're just breaking through time barriers. And then they have other levels of speed, including cruise. It seemed to me when I look back in time that I went from warp speed into cruise. And because of that, speaking that out into my own life and into my own mindset, imagine that someone is running a race, and you're running at full speed. All of a sudden, you get a hamstring or something, and all of a sudden, now you're running at half speed. That's a more clear way to describe what happened to me. It seemed like my last 2 years at Memphis State University became a struggle. The things that used to be easy were now harder, even to the point when I was allowed to attend the University of Michigan with Donald Center. I just didn't quite have the energy or the spunk or the focus, the discipline, the concentration. A lot of gifts come into play when it comes to being successful, and they all have to work hand-in-hand together. Basically, I became a person running with two legs, now running with one. And that just, and it continued. So after being disinvited to continue my degree at the University of Michigan, I decided that I'll go on for a little bit, and then I decided, no, I didn't want to stay in Memphis and just be another regular musician. I decided, well, let me just go out on the road for a while. And so I happened to find a band at the Marriott Hotel. They were looking for another saxophone player, and it just worked out. So I told my parents I'd give them maybe a couple of years, not more than three. And it wound up being a total of 5 years of my time. Well, while I was out there, I wound up plummeting even further down the rabbit hole, so to speak, because I finally gave into peer pressure. And what does that mean? In short, basically living a very promiscuous life, I'll put it that way. And because of that, I finally came to a point where I defiled my body and the Holy Spirit left. I woke up the next morning with a hole in my chest and said, there's something wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. And from that point, other things started happening to me in my life that I really did not understand. I just knew that something was different. That's the best way to describe it. And I'll put it this way for those that are in the body of Christ. The head of protection of God is now gone. If you ever read the Bible and understand things about Samson, he had a lot of strength and power until his hair was cut off. Well, I kept going, and I finally came to a point where I just had to stop. I realized that I was not living the life that I should have been living. It was not what the Bible said. It was not how my parents raised me. And it came to a point where I just didn't like myself anymore for the first time in my life. So I decided to leave the road with this band and go home, which is what I did. And I sat there, and even though I had other opportunities to perform in Branson, the city of Branson, the very well-known country city, I had a gentleman who came out of Texarkana, said he wanted to be my manager and manage me. That fell through also. And then another opportunity came through, a gentleman who was a road manager or worked for Peter Bryson, as well as he also knew Kenny G. All three of those doors closed. So I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, I've done all that I thought I wanted to do, and it seems like everything I've tried to do on my own has closed. So I said, Lord, now, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm not ready to do. And I sat on my bed and I renewed my vow back to Christ. And then all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, call Donald Hayes, who's a very phenomenal saxophonist.
Wait a minute. Hold on before you go further. That is so invaluable.
Sure.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you heard what Dr. Alvin said, he said he stopped. He realized that he had basically gone too far. And
yes,
he called out to the Lord, and he asked for forgiveness. And when he asked for forgiveness and he rededicated his life and his heart back to Christ, Alvin, I'm hearing you say that immediately you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Immediately.
That is correct.
He came.
Yes.
That is so important for us to know. So important. Even when we err, and there are going to be times when we err, how many have faced that time where we just plummeted? Many of us. Many of us. But it's so important that you hear what Dr. Alvin is saying, that the moment you realize that you've gone far enough and that there is nothing more important in your life than a life of Christ, and you ask for forgiveness, he is telling you from experience that when you do that and when you humble yourself to the Lord and submit your heart back to him, immediately he returns.
Yes.
And you're in his presence again, and you're hearing his voice again. That's how much he loves us, right, Alvin?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I even repented. And I just, when I first came to Los Angeles through referral of Donald Hayes that I mentioned earlier, he said, if you ever come to Los Angeles, come to Kirk Whalen's Bible study. For those that don't know him, Kirk Whalen is a world-renowned saxophonist, toured with Whitney Houston when she was at her prime. And he's one of my big brothers in Christ. And I'll just say this on his behalf, that his faith walk is more upright than some ministers that I know. Truly a man of God, and now he serves God. He's also a minister, ordained minister now, and is taking over his father's church. I think it's called, the name will come in a moment. But he's in Memphis, Tennessee, and doing very well, and he's always been very supportive of me over the past 20-some years that I've known him. And so I told Donald, I said, well, about a week later, I'm coming to Los Angeles, and he didn't think I was coming. I told my mother, I said, Mom, I have to go to Los Angeles. That's where my door is. So she called her cousin, Jerry Wyndon, and Reddy Wyndon, a senior, and they agreed to allow me to stay with them for a while. I wound up staying with them for a total of 1 year and 3 months. And during that time, I just continued to fellowship with the Lord. I started reading my Bible more. As a matter of fact, I drove 1,800 miles from Memphis, Tennessee, to Los Angeles in a brand new van that my dad co-signed for me. I drove 500 miles, rested in the back of the van, in the back of a hotel somewhere, drove another 500 miles, did the same thing, and then drove the last 800 miles straight to their home. And I arrived in Los Angeles. Actually, they live in Altadena, California, 2 days before Halloween in 1995. That would have made it October the 29th, because the first thing that I went to was that Bible study, and that happened to be on Halloween Day. So since that time, I've been trying to get back in God's good graces. And from time to time, I would see a movement of God, and I said, how did that happen? Because I recognize the hand of God. I recognize God's mighty handy works. And I said, I don't know how I got there, but if I can ever figure out how to get back there and stay there, I can pull down some of God's blessings and get my life back on track. The Lord would just slow walk me, step by step, piece by piece, day by day, week, month, and year. He just continued to direct me and guide me along the way. I would even say that I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but the Lord has seen my heart, and he's tested me. He's gradually put me back together piece by piece, and also eventually he even restored my musical gift, and I shared that with you a couple of days ago, that when the Holy Spirit left, he took his gifts with him. So one day, my wife flew to Washington, D.C., to a church there, a prophetic ministry, called Celestial Church of Christ, which originated out of Africa. And she knew the head gentleman. His name was Dr. Emmanuel Okande. He was our spiritual father, and he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. And so when he went into his office, my wife went into the sanctuary and met a prophet. The prophet told my wife that your husband thinks that he's lost all of his gifts and all of his fame, but when he's ready, the Lord will give them back to him. So going back in a little bit further time now, maybe 10 years ago, one night I was practicing on a Friday night, and all of a sudden I felt something hit my hands, and I realized immediately that the Lord had blessed me with my gifts back, because it's been a struggle my first 10 years just playing in Los Angeles. Nobody really knows what was missing other than myself and the Lord. It's one thing to have a talent, but I now have the understanding that I know the difference between a talent, a gift, and the anointing of God. And I cherish this gift so much that I'll never ever again.
That is so powerful. Please explain what you mean by those three: a talent, a gift, and an anointing.
All right. Starting with a talent. Anything that you can do in life that you've worked hard at and you become proficient at it, we're going to call that a talent. Anything that is above that, that really acknowledges, I would say separates you above the average, that's called a gift of God. But the anointing of God is what goes on top of that. And it's the anointing, that the Bible says, that it destroys every yoke. The anointing of God is the power of God, which helps change things in your life, in your world. It changes your spirit, changes your mindset, it changes your environment. That is the power of God. So when you hear about these various ministries with healing, deliverance, and things of that, such, that means you know, that person has a particular relationship with God, not just going to church. You have spent time in God's presence as it was with Moses, for example. He spent 40 years in God's presence, getting to know God, getting to know his voice, getting to know his ways, developing a relationship. In other words, just like if you have parents, so you know your parents' ways. You know your brothers and sisters' ways. You know your employer's ways because you've been with that person over a period of years. And you understand that if, for example, Dr. Beverly, you know your mother would say A, B, C, D, F, G because you know that's how she would say it. You know that's her idiom. That's how she speaks. And if I were ever to come to you and say, I met your mother, and she said, X, Y, Z, you said, no, you're alive because that's not my mother. That's not how she would say it. That is not her verbiage, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so moving forward, the Holy Spirit is the tangible but also untangible, I'll put it this way, because you can't see him. But yet he is the power of God, and he moves throughout our lives. He is the power, the spirit, the entity that we need to help us deal with life issues. Romans 8, verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures says, if the Spirit, which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, also dwells in you, then that same Spirit, which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, will also quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit, which dwelleth in us. I just want to kind of think in for just a second. So that actually brings into a question, well, how do we get the Holy Spirit on the inside and walk with God?
Yes, Reverend. Tell them how.
Amen. Well, number one, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And so you find a good church home, one where you feel that you are led to join and where you feel the love and presence of God. And then when there's what's called altar call, in case you've never been to a church, then you stand up and you don't look around. You just say, I'm just led to join this church because I'm looking for something different because what I'm living in right now is not working. And I want the Lord to change my life, and I'm willing to give my life to him. And then there's an exchange, and they get to take your information. They take you into another room in the area after service is over. They begin to tell you, minister to you, ask you questions. Are you sure that you want to do this? And if you're underage, then they will ask your parents to join you in this decision. And it's really a wonderful time of celebration because you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now because of that, they will pick a time for you to be baptized. Once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, you are immediately received of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is also represented in the water. And when you come up, you have now received the Holy Spirit. So that begins your journey, your spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to take Bible study lessons. You go to Bible study, Bible classes, Sunday morning, what do you call it? Help me out here.
Well, it is a Bible study. But you know, the best thing about receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because I know the audience is going, how did we get here? Well, you know, Dr. Bev, of course we're going to get here. Because he opened Amen. The door to let you know that there is a talent and there's a gift and then there's an anointing. You also remember how even though he was raised a certain way, he's taught a certain way, and he had an experience where he just said, you know what, I'm just going to be like everyone else and fit in. And he realized that he made some choices that were not pleasing to God, and he repented, and immediately the Lord was walking with him. That's how much the Lord loves us. But he also rededicated his life back to Christ. And, you know, a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, people complicate things. Receiving salvation isn't really complicated. It isn't at all. It's simply confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confessing with your mouth. What does that mean? That means simply saying out loud. As a matter of fact, if you would like right now, if you say, you know what, I've always wanted to receive Jesus, but it always seems so complicated, Dr. Bev. I didn't know what that meant in church. I wasn't comfortable with standing up. You know, you can do that right now with us. You can do that right now with us and start your own spiritual journey of divine protection, of open doors, your gifts magnified from a talent to a gift, to an anointing. You can have that because our God isn't just God. He's our Father. That's why Dr. Alvin said that he walked with him and he journeyed with him day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Is that not what a father does until we grow to be the mature people that we are to be? Well, our Father does the same thing. So if you want that, you can do that right now with us. We'll stop right here. And all you have to do right where you are is say out loud, repeat after me, and that's, Lord Jesus, I believe that you came here and died on the cross for me and my sins, and you raised from the dead that I will have eternal life with my Father, the sovereign God. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Amen.
Amen. If you say that, and if someone asks you, so where is the Lord Jesus now? You say, he's in my heart. Guess what? That's how uncomplicated it is. So if you believe with your heart, you've already spoken it with your mouth, that you are now saved and you have the same right standing that Alvin had and that he has, that I have. And we don't have to journey through this life by ourselves.
Never alone.
Never, ever alone. Well, I guess I better let everyone know that you have tuned in to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with our very special guest, Dr. Alvin K. McKinney, a world-known saxophonist, sharing his life with us, being very transparent about his life and sharing his story. And you just have the privilege of receiving salvation, the honor of receiving salvation. Welcome to the family.
Amen.
So, you know, Alvin, I know, huh? You know what, Alvin, I remember when we were talking, you said that you were fussing with God. Now, you have to share that story. How many people have fussed with God thinking that they're going to win? Please share that story.
Certainly. During this transitional time in my life, I've been in L.A. maybe a year or so. And as you know, when you're going through a transition between careers, it takes a while before finances and success start to flow. Well, I was in that transition once again, not having left the road and then starting a new pathway. And so because I was new in Los Angeles, first time here, at least as a resident anyway, a brand new musician in the area, didn't really know a whole lot of people, didn't have a job. Well, my auntie, the late Reverend Zelma Madison, decided, well, I'll give him some change just as I can clean up my house. Now, if you are a true artist, it doesn't matter if it's music or anything else, anything regarding the arts, and you continue to do this for a while, That means, in other words, maybe you might be working in at McDonald's, you're washing dishes, you're washing cars, cleaning floors. That is not where your gift is, and it's not your anointing. Yes, it provides an income, it provides housing, it provides food, but it's not where your heart is, because your heart is where your gift is. Mm-hmm. So I began to fuss at the Lord, because I didn't see my doors coming fast enough, and to the point where I was just letting him have it while I was vacuuming in her home. And then all of a sudden my pager goes off, and I look down and I see a number. I decide to call the number back on her phone, since I didn't have a cell phone and couldn't afford one. And lo and behold, one of the gentlemen, a saxophone player at the Kirk Williams Bible Study, referred me to a performance, a ministry performance in the Caribbean Islands, which he could not make it. He backed out at the last minute, and so he referred me. Well, naturally, I accepted the opportunity, and I began to celebrate. And then I had to go and retract my fussing to the Lord. And that was with Alva and Desiree McCulpin. They're a wonderful brother and sister team. They're also Seventh-day Adventists, and we had a wonderful time. They have such a chemistry just between the two of them that I often found it hard to just try and play with them. So I would look for holes, and they pretty much were none. And they would encourage me to try and play more, and I said, well, I don't want to interrupt what you're doing. So I was trying to harmonize when I could, and I played little solos when they gave me the opportunity. Anyway, I was able to make a nice piece of change. The Lord had me in a beautiful environment. If you've ever been to the Caribbean Islands, you know that the water is just crystal clear.
Yes,
it is. The water is so clear. It looks like tap water, and you can see straight down 20 feet and see the crabs. Just beautiful. And so that was in itself was a therapeutic for me as well. The Lord just, I was just so grateful, just so grateful.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had him share that story because I want you to understand that our Father knows each and every one of us and our personalities. You know, so he's not going to get angry when we are having a moment or we're being ourselves. You have to remember he is the one that created us. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly each and every one of our personalities. He chuckles at us. He's our Father. He loves us. Did he punish him for having a moment and deciding that he could go toe-to-toe with our Father? No. He simply smiled and blessed him. He said, oh, I guess it's time for my son to have a blessing. He's having a moment. I better give him something.
He certainly did that.
You know, you also... you were sharing with me about the last nightclub you played at and how you knew it was your last time. How about sharing that story with us?
Certainly. Before the Caribbean Island exchange, I mentioned earlier that I was staying with my cousins, Jerry and Reddy Wyndon Sr. in Altadena. Well, they said, well, you need to get you in an environment where you can meet some musicians. So they decided to take me down to Old Town Pasadena on a Friday or a Saturday night. And there are a lot of live bands down there. They took me to a nightclub, and I looked, and immediately I saw what I just left. And I said, well, I got to start somewhere. So during a break, I talked to the band leader. He said, sure, he didn't mind me coming up to sing and play, which is always usually respectful, if the club will allow you to do that. So the second set starts. And then they called me up and I played, had a good time. It seemed like they liked my playing. When I finished, I sat down, maybe half an hour, not more than an hour, and I said, you know what? I've had enough of this life, and I don't want this anymore. Because what I saw was the same thing that I saw for 5 years of my life. And I mentioned this to you earlier. I said, you could check, this is not to be crass, but if you chopped off the heads of people on the East Coast in a nightclub and put them on the heads, on the bodies of people on the West Coast, you would see the same lifestyle. You would see the same games, issues. I mean, it's a life unto itself. And I just came to a point where I didn't want it anymore. It was like the Lord just took away that desire for me to be there. And I finally made a decision. I said, you know what? If I never, ever step into another nightclub again, as long as I live, I am content and happy with this because I don't want this anymore. And I walked out, and I never looked back. from that point, I really began to start on the ministry that the Lord has been preparing me for. He's continued to test me, but I've continued to pass as many tests as I possibly could. I'll say this. When the Lord has something for you, he will allow you to only go so far. If
yes.
you're like walking down a road and you see there are like a guardrail on one side and then a guardrail on the other, you might be wobble a little bit here, but you're only going to go so far. If you ever jump track, that's when you know you're really having problems. Well, I've jumped track, and now the Lord has put me back on track, and so I've just continued to walk this pathway for the past 18 years. And what the Lord delivered me from off the road, I've never looked back from, and I have no regrets whatsoever. And I'm so grateful that the Lord delivered me from that, because it really is never-ending. I've seen people that get caught in that lifestyle and could not ever get out. I've seen 80-year-old men dancing with 21-year-old women. Another thing that I won't mention, but I'll just say this. If only fulfilling to a moment, and then you always have to have something else to try and replace that. But I will share this with you. If you ever have the opportunity to know God and walk with God, you won't ever have any regrets. You won't be constantly looking for something else, because there's nothing else greater than the love of God. And I like to encourage for those who are not yet walking with God, please take the time to know him. Test him, as the Bible says. Try him for yourself. You can always go back if you don't like it, but I guarantee you that based on what I've experienced in my lifetime, that you won't find anything else more satisfying than walking with God.
Well, I can certainly attest to that, Dr. Alvin. There is really nothing better than walking with God. You know, I tell people all the time, he's my father. Now, he just
Amen.
Happens to be God, but he's my father. And there is no love greater than his love. There is no one like him that will and can accept you for who you are.
Amen.
But him, that pure,
Amen.
Unadulterated love that no one earthly, fleshly can match. So he's right. Once you try him for yourself, you're going to be just like us. We're hung up on our Father, and there's nothing else better. Nothing else will do.
Amen.
You know, sounds like... we're
going
to share something else. What is it?
Thank you. I'm led to share this a short example. I remember as a child playing in church, feeling one way. And even though I was blessed to have the opportunity to wake all of these honor bands, all city junior high, all city high school, all West concert jazz bands, both blue and red band, the blue band being the top band, all state jazz band, all of these things in high school. And even though I would spend time in prayer the night before, my mother would kind of do her little spiritual work over me, all of those experiences never ever matched I hate to use the word high, but that's the best way I can describe it in a way that people can truly understand. Mm-hmm. All of those experiences never ever matched to the spiritual high that I received playing for the Lord in God's house. And I've never forgotten in that. And so that has really helped me with my ministry. It's one thing to be successful in this world, and God will allow us to do those things. But it's another thing to praise God in his own ordained place of worship, spending time with God. And I used to give what the Lord gave me, or what I learned in the world, I would always give it back to God in church. And the Lord would always bless me. So I have always seen the difference between playing in the world versus playing in the house of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing in the world, and the Lord is sending me back out now as we speak to do that. But he has not prepared me, and he now trusts me to do those things. And he knows that I won't falter anymore to the things that I've seen and been privy to, and even some of the traps that I've fallen to along the way. That's all.
No, that was powerful, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time, because that was important, Dr. Alvin, for them to hear. But there is one more story that I'm going to ask you to share. That is this. Ready?
I'm ready.
Because one never knows what Dr. Bev is going to throw at them. You know, you talk to me. I would like very much for you to explain to them. You mentioned to me that there was a time when you were in a trance. Would you share that story?
Certainly.
Jesus spoke to you.
All right. For those that don't know what a trance is, that basically means that you are now preparing for a spiritual journey. And prophets and people who are very spiritual are praying over your body to ensure that you can return to your vessel. In other words, the angels will come to you and they will take your consciousness away. And then you travel in the spirit realm. I'll give you the whole story, but I'll be brief. I remember all of a sudden I showed up in this very dark area. It seemed like I was walking on dark coals, and I was surrounded by two or three angels, one on the left, one on the right, I think maybe one behind me. And I remember one being female. And we were just walking, and even the sky was dark, almost like night, but I could still see. All of a sudden, the devil showed up, Satan, and he was flying in a stealth plane, and he just stopped and hovered right above my head. He looked down at me, I looked up at him, and then he flew away. We kept walking. A few minutes later, he comes back and does the same thing, and we do the same thing, and he disappears again. The third time, as we were walking, he just stops and he just appears right in front of me. And I said, please move aside. I have an appointment, and I don't want to be late. And I told you in the previous story earlier, I don't like being late. And he didn't move. So I said, please, if you don't move, I will shoot you. And I don't know how I knew, but I pulled up a gold gun. Now, if you've ever seen a crossbow, you know that it's open-faced. Mm-hmm. This gun was all gold, open face, so you could see three bullets laying on top, one on each side of each other, one, two, three, side by side. And so I fired off a round and shot off part of his ear. I said, the next shot will go directly between the eyes. He decided to leave, and we kept on walking. Next thing I know, I appear in this beautiful place. It was just all white. And just a multitude of people. Couldn't see the end of them. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, a gentleman wearing a army hard hat and army clothes appears directly in front of me as I'm holding my sight phone on my shoulder, which is the one I used to carry during that time. And he says, Alvin, we've been expecting you. You are scheduled to play for the Lord next. I said, all right, thank you. So I walk around to the next room, and being a musician that I was and am, get a feel and the vibe of the place. I walk into the next room. I look to my left, and I see a stage, and there's a trio playing there. And off to their right, I see the Holy Trinity. I see the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit sitting in their thrones. And so when they finish, I walk up on the platform, and Jesus says to me, Alvin, I want you to play Amazing Grace for me. So I did. And I just a brief interjection. And since that time, each time I play Amazing Grace, it's always a dedication to the Lord. Because there's no greater feeling than to play for Christ himself. People talk about meeting all these world-famous people. But until you've actually played for Christ himself, there's nothing like that. Not in this world. And so when I came back into this world, it was different. There's nothing seems of greater value than being in the presence of God. I put it that way. But getting back to the story, when I finished, Jesus Christ himself took me by my hand, and he walked me in front across of the throne of God and to the point we were now standing on top of the living waters in a pool of water. He told me to kneel down, and then he knelt down also, and then he began to pour water over my head, and he began to share the things that used to happen to me on the road. The things that I shared earlier, that I said things that stopped happening to me that I didn't understand. But he said that it was my mother's prayers that kept me alive. For surely what I had done, I should have died. For the Bible says that it's better to have never known God than to know God and walk away. Well, I would just say that I'm a prodigal son, and you have the opportunity to listen to someone today who has done that, but God has given me a second chance. You're listening to someone who is whom fell from grace, but yet the Lord gave me a second opportunity to get it right and to get back in his presence. I should have died. I can tell you that we traveled thousands of miles. Sometimes we even traveled 1,000 miles between performances because there was no other engagement between those two points. And all over God's terrestrial landscape, in every weather condition, extreme cold, extreme hot. But yet the Lord kept me alive, even to the point when the driver of the truck who passed away was driving around at nighttime in the mountains high on crack. And I remember singing one night, I said, Lord, you said you would never ever leave. I know that I haven't lived all that I should have lived, but you said you would never ever leave me. So please keep us safe out here. I'll never forget that prayer. And I was so angry by being in that situation that I would find places in myself to hide, just trying to hide the anger. But yet over a period of time, the Lord released that anger out of me because it's not good, it's not healthy. And it's not the peace of God. If you don't have the peace of God in your life, you can't sleep at night. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to do anything. Your hands start shaking. The peace of God only comes in and through Christ. So all of these gifts, the love of God, the peace of God, His mercy, His grace, there's nothing in this world that you cannot have if you would trust God and walk with God and let the Lord be a blessing in your life and help show you how to live life. Because all He really wanted to do was just live life through us. He wasn't trying to take over. As most people would think, I don't want to go to church because I have other things to do. I don't want to go to God because I don't want God to tell me what I can and cannot do. Well, I would just say this. It's always a submission. I think I mentioned earlier that the Holy Spirit is gentle, and if I didn't, I'll say it now. The Holy Spirit is gentle. You have to invite Him in. Even in church, the Holy Spirit has to be invited in. God is not going to gangbuster His way into your life. That's not the love of God. The love of God is full circle. If you truly love someone, then they're supposed to be able to retain that same love back to you. Am I right, Dr. Beverly?
Yes. That is definitely correct. And I'm sitting here smiling because that was for someone. Actually,
Amen.
It was for many. And it was important that you shared that. And you have truly blessed many. I can certainly feel that in the spirit. And parents, please take his story to heart. Never, ever give up on any of your children. It matters not what it looks like. It matters not what it sounds like. You continue to pray because God is faithful. Continue to pray. Never give up, because giving up and stepping back means that you're opening up the door for the enemy that we call Satan and his cohorts to come in and steal everything that the Lord has for them and even their lives. So never give up. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what they say. Continue to pray. Prayer changes things.
Amen. And if I may just briefly add, being a musician pretty much my entire life since the age of 4, I would say this regarding the difference between playing in the world and playing for the Lord himself. You cannot hit a drum hard enough. You can't sing high enough. You can't play your notes fast enough to match the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying that from someone who's been a musician all my life. So when you mentioned about the anointing that the Lord has blessed me and entrusted me with, when you heard me ministering with Morsarulo, Word Evangelism, that came through my relationship and my faith walk through Christ. Because that's one prayer that I always pray, before I play. And that is, Lord, simply, let there be nothing in me that will not glorify you. And that way I've now prepared my vessel to receive the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can use my vessel and play through my breath, through my instrument. And it goes out into the audience and to all the listeners, even televised. And that's the most powerful thing as a musician, because we are also healers. And so we have to be careful about how we use our gift. Yes, you can entertain with it. Yes, you can make money with it, yes. But make sure that your heart is always in the right place with God. Because in the end, as the Bible says, only what you do for Christ will last. Amen?
Amen. And never give up on him, because he never gives up on you.
God is faithful no matter what.
He is.
No matter how long it takes.
And ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the story, the testimony, the most transparent stories of Dr. Alvin K. McKinney. He is a world-class musician. He functions in the spirit of excellence and humility. His presentation is truly first class. I've experienced it many times myself. And his clients and his audience are never disappointed, and they appreciate his ability to adapt to their needs. He's so well-versed in multiple genres of music. He has 40-plus years of experience performing and sound and staging and lighting. That qualifies him to render a first-class presentation, not just when he plays, but everything that surrounds him. His expertise is second to none. He doesn't just do the job that he was contracted to do. When he sees an event, ladies and gentlemen, a coordinator in trouble, he will step in and help that person get the job done. So at the end of the day, it is a job well done for all parties concerned, and everyone has received. You can reach him in multiple ways. He has an amazing website where you can go online and take a look at him for your ministries. He has a very powerful ministry for whether you want him to be involved in your special events, whether it's conferences or churches, weddings. All you have to do is contact him, and you can do that through his website. And I believe that website is at dralvinmckinney.org.
.com.
.com.
Dr. Alvin, DralvinMckinney.com. And also, I have a new website that we hopefully will be released on July the 4th, and that is the same thing, except .net. And that one will have all the bells and whistles. So, Dr. Beverly, I want to thank you. I've had a wonderful time with this interview. Hopefully, I didn't talk too much. But I want to thank you for letting me share my life and my testimony. I'm truly honored and grateful.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, but the pleasure has indeed been all mine, and I have a knack for getting people to talk too much. That's exactly what I want. I hear everyone all the time say, I didn't exactly go the way I thought it would have gone. I said, oh, no, absolutely not. That would be me. We want your story and your testimony encourages everyone else, Dr. Alvin, to continue their journey. It inspires and empowers them to continue through their breakthrough as well. I want you to know you can also reach Dr. Alvin. His office number is 562-916-3313. He does have a Skype address. And that is let me spell that for you. It is R as in Robert, E, V as in Victor, D as in Deborah, R as in Robert, Alvin McKinney. Now, there's two N's in his name, so you can reach him via Skype as well. He is available for you. As you listen to this broadcast, you will hear that contact information again. I want to repeat that website. It is dralvinmckinney.com. And take a look out. He has another website coming. Oh, yes, that is indeed a busy man. Again, he has played for, he has performed for B.B. King, Johnny Adams, Lazy Lester, Lattimore, Louis Belson, Clark Terry, Billy Preston, everyone, Jason Crabb and the Crabb family, Pastor Andre Crouch, Benny Hinn, and Martha Rilla, Lou Rawls, so many more. You must visit the website. He is an inspiration to whomever contracts him for playing, and his story will change the lives of everyone that has had the privilege of hearing him. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show. You have blessed me and so many. I look forward to hearing more of your success as you progress forward. No more fussing with the Lord, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, no, we worked that out.
Oh, okay. It's all straight now.
I've learned my lesson. That was when I was a baby in Christ.
Okay.
But now we talk, and he mostly talks and I listen. If I may add one name to the list, I had the honor of playing for President Barack Obama in the White House with Dr. Ira Stevenson and the Crenshaw Elite Choir this past December 11th. So truly, your gift will make room for you. Amen.
Amen. And what the Lord makes happen for you, I tell you, others, he is not a respecter of persons, ladies and gentlemen. So remember, if you continue to stay focused on his will and put his will first, trust him. As Dr. Alvin said, give him a chance. And if you don't like them, then try your other way. But if you'll give everything else a chance, how about giving our Father a chance? Now, we are getting ready to end the broadcast, and I promised I would play one more song. It happens to be one of my favorites, so we're going to play that on the way out. Now, for my international family, I promise I'll re-air the broadcast for 12 hours to give you an opportunity to hear it. But remember, it is immediately saved in the archives and ready for you to listen to and absorb all those wonderful stories that will encourage you. If you would like to hear more about inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough, you can contact Dr. Beverly via email at drbeverlylswanson@gmail.com or info@drbeverlylswanson.com. Check out the website. That is www.drbeverlylswanson.com. So enough of that. Dr. Alvin,
Dr. Bell,
I do love you more.
Dr.
I'm
Bell?
Sawyer. Yes.
Oh, thank you. If I just I must please just briefly mention my endorsees. Julius Collar saxophones through the Buffet Group USA, Beefa mouthpieces, Legere Reeds, Audio Technica microphones, and Cork US keyboards. Thank you for the support. Thank you. Oh, by the way, also I have a show, the Gospel Jazz Show, which airs every Friday morning, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Pacific Standard Time. And then also the rebroadcast is every Sunday afternoon, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. noon. Sorry, 12 noon to 1 p.m.
Oh, that's great. Can you repeat that again about the show?
Certainly. Sure. The show is called the Joyful Jazz Show. It is a gospel jazz internet radio program, and it airs every Friday morning, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Pacific Standard Time, and also the rebroadcast is on every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Please go to www.rmc, like the word, and the word cat, rmc, onlive.com, rmconlive.com. Thank you so much. By the way, I will be promoted to a televised broadcast of that show starting in July. But God is good.
He is. That's so exciting. Okay, I'm going to have to be a guest on that show.
Yes, I'll be honored to have you.
Well, there you have it, everyone. You can reach him via website, via phone, via email, and his broadcast, and more to come. I tell you, God is good, and we're going to be seeing much more and hearing much more from Dr. Alvin K. McKinney, an amazing saxophonist, a mighty man of God, a
Amen.
Son of God, and an anointed servant of the King. So here we go. This song is entitled King David's Victory Dance. Now, the songs that I've played, he hasn't mentioned it, is on his new CD entitled spiritual journey. Is that correct?
Yes, a spiritual journey. That is correct. Thank you.
All right. And that information is how? How can they purchase that?
Sure. CD Baby, Amazon. If you want to buy downloads, you can go to Facebook, iTunes. That's enough, I guess, for now. But you can find me. Also Django. There we go. So thank you
and
for
on his
your
website. I happen to see it on his website, everyone. Okay, are you ready? This song, you want to get
yes.
your rocking shoes on because it will have you dancing. Dr. Alvin, I'm going to love you more. And everyone on Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough, thank you for joining us tonight. And I'll see you next week. And know in all your heart that I do love you more. And here we go for King David's Victory Dance. Hold on, everyone. Not that one. Stand by.